This is Life Talk, where we tell it like it is. Life Talk is motivational, helping you get to the next level in life. Life Talk is educational, to broaden your knowledge. Life Talk is inspirational, to get you fine-tuned to start doing what you love doing. Life Talk, sponsored by KMAREducation.org. And here is your host, Marietta Kammerer.
And welcome to Live Talk with Marietta. I am Marietta. Hope everyone is doing well. It was a beautiful Sunday, just a perfect day. Tonight's program is all about when one work life ends, another one starts. Not all the time. Most of the time, maybe. There comes a time when we're at the end of a road. We don't realize it. We try to keep going and nothing works anymore. Or the rug is pulled from under us, the company folds, or we're just fed up and don't want to continue, like the past 20 years. Career after 40, it is possible. I have done it and walked the talk, and I have invited a couple of my friends to share their story and wisdom. But before I introduce my guests, I have a couple of announcements. We are off. Life Talk with Marietta is off for the long Labor Day weekend. So we're not on next Sunday, September the 6th. But I'd like you to mark the date, September 13th. We're on for 2 hours with our annual event, Conscious Living. So we're on from 7 to 9. And it's all about the body movement, wise choices after 50. So you get to meet lots of professionals from the health and wellness industries and many, many more. We're still in the process of working on it. We will update you in the HealingMindMagazine.com. So please do go to that magazine. The HealingMindMagazine.com for details as we get closer. And I will also be on air during the week here on WICC with Melissa in the morning and also with Paul. They always have us on. So I'll be talking about what's really going to happen. So, and this is also sponsored by KMAREducation.org. So mark the date, September 13th, 2 hours from 7 to 9. So I'm all finished with my announcement. I made it very short and sweet. So let's start with our first segment. Well, career after 40, a big question mark, but it is possible. My guess, Wayne Winsley, a 20-year veteran in the broadcasting industry, a speaker, a coach, experienced reinvention. Wayne was at the height of his career. He is the founder and director of a nonprofit called BraveEnoughToFail.org. 2015, he put that company together. So glad to have you with us tonight, Wayne. How are you?
I am great, Marietta. Thank you so very much for having me.
Oh, thank you. And also my good friend, Phil Klein, a former marketing executive, consultant, coach for the financial industry, now a dog listener consultant. Thank you for being with us tonight, Phil.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
And we have all the doggies listening, too. See? We have a new audience as well. Right?
Correct. Absolutely.
Right. Well, life taught me that nothing is forever, and that includes our work life and a career that we build. Positions are eliminated. Companies fold. We have health challenges, and, you know, things happen in life. Layoffs. So tonight, in the three segments, I I'd like to start with obstacles and overcoming adversity at a young age. I thought that was very important to get an insight, how we really grew up and how we personally set that stage, our life stage. In the second segment, we talk about when success ends. Third segment, when initiative, tenacity, skills, and talents take over. So that's how I have it structured. And Wayne, I know you have a great story that you shared with me the other day, when how you grew up. And I'd like you to start, please.
Okay. Thank you so much, Marietta. Well, as I told you, I was born in Cleveland, Ohio, raised by a single parent, not my mother or my grandmother, but my great-grandmother raised me. The lady that raised me was born in 1911, and she raised me until she became too old to take care of me, and I wound up in the social welfare system in Cleveland. I was at a group home. The group homes now, it was an orphanage back then, same kind of thing, but different name. And then also I went to Boys Town for a while after that. But along the way, I failed eighth grade the first time around. Second year in eighth grade, I had pretty much given up on school. If you took the days that I went to school that year without skipping any classes and stayed all day, it would realistically add up to about 2 weeks. So I was this 14-year-old black kid walking around the streets of Cleveland with no direction, no nothing. Realistically, I was going to wind up in one of two places, prison or the cemetery. And what changed for me was a message that I overheard. The person wasn't even talking to me, Marietta. A friend of mine, his father was talking to his son about his report card. You know, I'm at my buddy's house, and it's that awkward moment where you're at your friend's house and your buddy's getting yelled at and you're just in the corner trying to be invisible. Well, one of the things that this gentleman's dad said was, always strive for excellence. I don't care what you do. Strive for excellence. Be excellent at something, because excellence will overcome poverty, prejudice, and adversity every time. Just be excellent at something. And for whatever reason, those words resonated in my 14-year-old brain. And based on that conversation, I made a choice. I chose to go back to class and really work at it, to try and actually be excellent. Now, did I turn out to be an instant A student? Of course not. I've been disengaged for just about 2 years. But I did. I graduated high school, went on to serve my country honorably in two tours of the United States Navy, and had a 20-year career in radio broadcasting, much of it right here on WICC 600. Some people will remember, you know, my voice or my name.
Oh, yeah. Richie Jatte voted for you. He voted for you.
Yes. Yes. And that's the last thing. I was privileged enough and blessed enough to run for U.S. Congress in the great state of Connecticut. And so I can tell you that it is possible to change the trajectory of a child's life. A message changed the path of my life, and that is why I found it Brave Enough to Fail, to bring that message of encouragement to as many young people as possible. And I will tell you something else very quickly that I didn't share with you earlier, is along the way, after I made that decision to go back to class, I stumbled upon something that's really powerful. I didn't know what affirmations were. I was a 14-year-old kid in Cleveland. I didn't know what that meant. But for some reason, I started telling myself, you're not average. You're not average. I just said to myself, I don't even know where I got that from. Mm-hmm. But I did. And it helped me to stay the course, to stay true to the decision that I had made to try and be excellent at my education. So the things that you tell yourself are hugely important.
Yes, the self-talk. Yes.
Yes, yes. You believe what you say to yourself about yourself.
Yes.
More than you believe it from anybody else. So So, yes, obviously I didn't have a silver spoon growing up, and I had to overcome a lot of things in inner city Cleveland and things like that, and it was hard, it was difficult, but it is doable. And that's the message that I bring to young people today that I reach all across the country, many of them right here in the greater Bridgeport, you know, at high schools like Harding and Bassett, that you and your dreams are unique. And you have a destiny that only you can fulfill if you have the courage to go after it.
That's right. That's right. Thank you, Wayne. Phil, I'd like you to tell your story, please.
I just want to say, I think Wayne has a fabulous story. I was born in Middletown, Connecticut, to Max and Frances Klein. And we actually were quite well off when I was first born, when I was very young. And then that changed pretty dramatically. I was a great student up through seventh grade. You know, kind of really hit bottom in eighth grade, you know, just kind of barely got by because I really wasn't focused. I wasn't willing to work hard. And then I said, when I got into high school, I better get going because otherwise I won't be able to go to college. And I thought being able to going to college was going to be important in my success. Additionally, I was very insecure because I was quite heavy at a young age, and also had a bad case of acne. In spite of that, I think one of the valuable lessons I learned was that when I slacked off at anything, I was not going to get the results that I desired. Now, that might seem obvious to other people, but it took me a while to catch on to that. And that having the right effort and focus would lead to the desired results. Now, I never considered myself unusually smart. I figured out along the way that if I worked hard enough, I could get what I wanted. The fact that we didn't have much money meant that basically if I wanted to go to college, I had to pay for it. If I wanted to have a car, I had to pay for it. And I learned a lot about responsibility and accountability. The other thing is success is not achieved alone. I had lots of help. I had nowhere near the challenges that Wayne had, but I still had challenges. I think everybody faces adversity and challenges. But you don't get help if you don't do your part. And kind of my bottom line to this is it's not what happens to you that counts. It's what you do with it that counts.
I understand. It's just really
incorrect.
It's just really incredible as I'm listening to both of you. Many people wouldn't want to share this, but I think it's important that we do because we made something out of our life. We really did. And I just like to briefly talk about, I grew up as a C student, barely getting by, underachiever, no support from home. Parents were good parents, hardworking individuals. Good home, didn't have any problems with alcohol or drugs or anything, but I was a byproduct. They never had time for me. So, and what happened in school, as we were doing different projects, I never finished any projects. Everybody, all my peers were, you know, right on target, finishing everything, and I never finished anything. And I slid through classes like that. You know, this went on for 3 years, the last 3 years. And I want to point out that pattern really carried me through my life into my mid-30s, where I would start things. I was interested in things, but I would never finish it. And it wasn't until I met somebody who I really admired, who really said to me, he said, Marietta, you know, you never finish anything. And that really deeply hurt me, because it was the truth. And I have to say, for the past 30 years, there isn't anything that I start that I don't finish. Everything with me has a beginning and an ending. Whether I get the results that I anticipated or I don't, but it still has an ending, and that's very important. So I got out of that pattern, and I bet a lot of people are like that, experience that, and that comes from early childhood. So I wasn't really held accountable in school because, hey, we were 32 kids in the class. Hey, if you don't move along, well, then that's just the way it is. So, but it never bothered me in my adult life. And it wasn't until I met that person who I really admired for their achievements. And when they said what they said, that really hit it. And that really did it. Mm-hmm. I did a turnaround. And I've been like that for 30 years.
Finishing is so important. Yes.
Isn't it?
Finishing is so important.
Yeah.
I mean, in baseball, you know, it's not the starting pitcher that quite often wins the game. It's the closer.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but I also want to say environment has a lot to do with it, at least in my case. My family kept to themselves. They very seldom even saw their family, visited family, but we had no contact to the outside world. It was like living in a fort. It really was. So my only interaction was in school, with the class, with my peers. So I had very little mental stimulation. I grew up. What I did learn, common sense, I learned that from a very early age, and independence. And that got stronger and stronger as I got older, 12, 13, 14. There I really knew I'm only going to do what I want to do. And, you know, so common sense and independence I learned from growing up. Everything else I learned as I got older in life. So I was an underachiever till maybe early 30s, and I became an overachiever, you know, as time went on, which I will go into later on in our third segment. So there isn't any, my belief system isn't there. There isn't anything. If I put my mind to it, if I want it, I can get it. I can achieve it.
Absolutely.
That's just the way it is.
Absolutely.
And for people won't even say today, sometimes I wish people would say, would challenge me. Hey, Marietta, you really can't do that. But nobody's saying that. Nobody's saying anything to me now. But it's amazing when I talk to my peers, that we had a class reunion 3 years ago. I wasn't there. I was born, raised, and educated in Germany. But what the classmates, what picture they really had of me, you know, like the class clown, never got anything done and just kind of, and I wanted them to know that I made something of myself. That was very important to me. It's amazing. It really, really was amazing.
And there's nothing wrong with that. And Marietta, you pointed out something that's really, really important, in that you learned that revelatory message later in life. And people listening need to know that it is never too late to be great. It's never too late.
Thank you for saying that. Thank you for saying that, Wayne. That is so true. And in your case, it was the dad who talked to his son when it really penetrated you mentally, emotionally.
Yeah.
And with me, it was this person who I admired for his accomplishments. I wanted to be like that person. And sure enough, it hurts, but it helped. I got over it and I got pulled myself up and went right forward. So I really believe, in talking to Phil and also Wayne, you both took initiative. You had that in you, Phil, as a little boy. Because
I think my parents sent that message. You know, hey, I was in a typical dysfunctional family. I wasn't the worst, and certainly wasn't the best. But I got the message that you have initiative to make something of yourself, and one of those things was going to college. Well, I'm not saying that's true for everybody, that you have to go to college to be successful. A lot of successful people haven't gone to college. But that was the message that I got, and that was the path that I got myself on.
You know what just came to mind? As a little kid and growing up, I had problems with the spoken word, the intangible. I just couldn't get it. I just didn't. Where other kids, they got it. We get it. And I didn't get it. And do you know that I really mastered the intangible arena when in my career of 18 years? The arena I was fearful of and didn't get, I mastered it in that arena, the intangible arena.
I was going to say, you kind of figured it out eventually.
I did. It just took me a little more time. It took me a little more time. You know, and
absolutely.
Yeah. So, yes, it's never too late. You know, we're going to go for a quick break. Please stay tuned and don't touch that dial.
I look at people's mind, skills, and talents and build a new career for them. That is my strong asset, experience, and gift, says Marietta Kammerer, Director of KMAR Education. The time is now. When we do what we love doing, we are doing something well. Our best abilities come out. It makes us feel happy and fulfilled. Act now and call for your consultation at 203-505-3660. On the web, kmareducation.org. Sponsored by thehealingmindmagazine.com and kmareducation.org. The Camellias, A Dream with Wings. A wonderful book written by author Enid Nivre. Reaching ages 3 to 11. Helping every child grow. Learning about forgiveness, goal setting, acceptance, and fundamentals of life. Go to GeneThompsonMedia.com for purchase. GeneThompsonMedia.com. The Camellias, A Dream with Wings book.
TheHealingMindMagazine.com is a professional platform for everyone who started or is wanting to start their journey of self-discovery. Individuals who work with their talents and skills. People who have mastered adversity and have developed a strong resilience. No matter what level a person is at, a strong desire to learn about self, mentally, emotionally, are great starting points. Join the HealingMindMagazine.com community and subscribe. Get ongoing information about Life Talk radio programs. Listen to Life Talk podcasts. Read informative and educational articles and more. Have some ideas? Share them. Info@TheHealingMindMagazine.com. Sponsored by KMAREducation.org.
Fall is just around the corner. So are Labor Day savings now at the Home Depot, where you can save every day on everything from mulch to power tools, new appliances to a fresh coat of paint. You can even shop and save right from the app and get convenient delivery right to your door. The only question is, what will you do next? Tackle more fall projects with Labor Day savings now at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. U.S. only, while supplies last, valid through September 7th.
Introducing Peacock, the new free streaming service from NBC Universal. Free timeless hits, free award-winning flicks. Free SVU, free SNL.
Live from New York, it's Saturday night!
Free Below Deck, free Parks and Rec.
Treat yourself.
It's the best of streaming, the best of TV, and best of all, it's free.
All right!
And that's why you can't not watch Peacock. Stream now at PeacockTV.com. These titles plus ET and Do the Right Thing streaming now. Content availability may vary over time.
Diane dreamed of spending her retirement years traveling with her husband, but that all changed the day she became her mother's primary caregiver. Now days start early, usually before 6 a.m., helping mom with anything she needs, often late into the night. It's a stressful and painful job, but she wants the best care for her mom. Sound familiar? We thought so too. Caregiving can take a tremendous toll on your family, but it doesn't have to be that way. A planned income strategy from the Retirement Income Store can help. Start with our free Retirement Income Kit by calling 866-244-9526. We'll send you the kit with 5 educational tools, including our CEO, David Scranton's Amazon best-selling book. Start building your planned income strategy now. Call the Retirement Income Store at 866-244-9526.
The Retirement Income Store.
Where retirees go for income.
Online at theretirementincomestore.com. Investment advisory services offered through Sound Income Strategies, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisory firm.
I look at people's mind, skills, and talents and build a new career for them. That is my strong asset, experience, and gift, says Marietta Kammerer, director of KMAR Education. The time is now. When we do what we love doing, we are doing something well. Our best abilities come out. It makes us feel happy and fulfilled. Act now and call for your consultation at 203-505-3660. On the web, kmareducation.org. Sponsored by thehealingmindmagazine.com and kmareducation.org.
Life Talk with Marietta continues on WICC 600.
And we're back. Thank you for tuning in to Life Talk with Marietta. I have Wayne Winsley. He's the director of BraveEnoughToFail.org with us tonight. Thank you again for being with us, Wayne. And also PhilTheDogListener.com. He is a dog listener consultant. And in our second segment, I'd like to go and get into when success ends, new doors open up. We might not see it. And Wayne, I'd like to start with you again. After your 20 years as a radio broadcaster, and you're still a broadcaster, you will always be a broadcaster. what happened? How did you digest that when your career was at an end? Are you there?
Shock. Yes, I'm here. Okay. Can you hear me?
I couldn't hear you. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, at first it was a shock because I didn't see it coming. Literally, I was on the air one day and unemployed the next day, wondering what happened. So I had to figure out, what do I translate 20 years of radio into? What am I going to do?
Yeah.
And now I'm not a child anymore. I've got obligations. You got a mortgage and all this stuff. And whoa. And I started to look. I took a moment and I asked myself, okay, what am I good at? I'm a communicator. So what can I do to use the gifts and talents that I've been given?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to go out and become a welder. So what am I going to do?
Hey, anyway, maybe you do that. Maybe you did that on the side in your garage. That's okay too, right?
Yeah. But see, you have to. That would work, but only if you are gifted or talented in that
sure.
area.
Of course.
Just a quick side note. In my military career, one of my jobs was, I was a jet engine mechanic. I was trained as a jet engine mechanic, except I can do it on paper, but you put a wrench in my hand, I can kind of do it. But think about that for a second. If you're going to go on vacation and you're going to take a flight, do you want to fly in the plane that was fixed by the guy that can kind of do it or the guy that can really do it? I'm not flying on my plane, just so you know.
I love it.
I'll fly it on the other guys. Yeah. But I wound up, fortunately, I hooked up with the employment website monster.com. And back in those days, in 2009, 2010, they had a program called Making It Count, where they hired speakers to go to schools and high schools and colleges and give their motivational talk to young people about making their high school and college experience count for them. And I spoke at about 200 high schools around the country and learned a couple things about, I learned that, number one, educators are desperate for anything that will make more young people invest themselves in their own education, and the schools that would benefit from such programs the most have no money to pay for it. So after my time with them, that is where I got the idea to pay forward the message that changed my life. And I looked at this company when their program went out of business in early 2012. I looked at it and I looked at why it failed, and I took their business model, shrank it, turned it into a nonprofit, and then proceeded to grow it back out into a nationwide organization. And that's what I'm doing now. But it follows along with that thing that I'm good at and that I love to do. That's why I can excel at it. And that's the key, really, to reinventing yourself. When we find ourselves at a sudden end, when a window closes on us, a door closes, slams shut in our faces, it's an opportunity to focus on the things that we are good at and that we love to do that are going to give us joy and provide revenue.
Right. But I also like to point out, you were an employee, I'm assuming. I don't know that for sure. Mm-hmm. You were an employee for 20 years. Now, you didn't have that income anymore. You had to learn some skills. You had to learn to sell. You had to learn to sell your ideas. You had to really activate your convincing power.
Yes. And that is where that whole brave enough to fail thing comes in, the courage to go for it. Because the first person I had to sell was my wife.
That was tough. That must have been a tough sell.
Oh, babe, I'm going to start a business, and here's what we're going to do.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
So yes, I had to learn new skills and figure out how to do this thing. And if it wasn't something that I was passionate about, I wouldn't have been able to stick with it through the hard process of building it. Because, you know, hard work is hard. You know, that's why it's called hard work.
Right.
And if you don't love that thing, it's hard to be great at it.
Exactly.
You can't be great at something that you hate. And it's only because I was following a passion and I got a vision of what I wanted to do. My vision was providing a message of encouragement for young people all around the country that really, really need it. So, and by using the talents and skills that I had as a speaker, I know that I can deliver a message. And I was passionate about it, and that's what gave me the perseverance to stick through learning all the stuff that I had to learn and meeting and convincing all the people along the way to help me, because you don't do it alone.
Yes, and there's a good portion of tenacity that is in you as well. Not everybody has tenacity. It's a good skill to have, the tenacity. You have to be tenacious, you know.
But the good thing about it, Marietta, is that tenacity can be acquired. It can be learned. You can learn perseverance and tenacity.
Really?
Yeah. You can learn it by focusing on what it is that you want and seeing where it is that you're trying to go. Because there's going to be times when when, you know, this is taking too long. I don't feel like I don't have enough money to do this. There, no matter what your dream is, there are going to be times when you feel like giving up. And the thing that allows you to keep going is knowing that you have a plan and sticking to your plan and taking credit for, like, the smallest victories along the way.
You know, Wayne,
and repetition.
Yeah. You know, Wayne, what I found, that a lot of people, too many people, a lot of people, they have problem asking for what they want. Asking. They can't get themselves to ask, whether they're sitting in the restaurant, to make it simple now. The food is not good. They don't want to ask, send it back and get something new. No, don't do it. But in regards to the career, you too many people don't. People need to learn how to ask for what they want, period. And feel comfortable.
So correct.
And do you know where I learned this? I tell you, when I was in the insurance investment business, I had to ask for the sale. And you know how long it took me? It took me 5 years to master that process. I befriended them. They allowed me to come in. They gave me their information, their personal information. Also, I had to overcome when you're looking at a business owner and you talk to them about covering disability in case they get hurt and so forth. So I had to ask for their annual salary, for their income. And I felt, I wanted to die every time. So I said, either I'm going to really confront this. And do you know, I got to it. I jumped over the hurdle. And it's I became so fluent in asking people for their annual salary. It was wonderful. So
do the thing that you fear doing, and
yes,
that is what gives you the courage.
Yes. And I really had to learn. I never thought about it that deeply, but I really had to learn to ask for what I need in life. And become fluent at it. And feel good about it and not being a beggar. So this is a big thing people need to address, learning to fluently ask for what they want. So
absolutely. Just a little addition to that, I had great training for running a nonprofit. Running a nonprofit means consistently asking people for money for your nonprofit. Well, my training for that, I didn't know it at the time, running for Congress trained me. Because running for public office, all you do is ask for money.
I love it. Maybe I should run for Congress.
That's where I learned. I kid you not. That is where I learned to ask for money. I've never had to do it before.
Thank you for sharing that. It's humorous, but it's a fact. It's so true. I like to get to Phil now. Phil, you were a marketing executive, a coach, a consultant, but you also tried self-employment. Why was that so attractive to you?
Well, actually, it was, you know, necessity is the mother of invention. I tried self-employment when Connecticut Mutual Life merged into Mass Mutual. The merger package was too good to pass up. That's how I got to that. And by the way, you know, kind of in terms of background, and it took me a while to put this together once I got out of college, was that my jobs usually involved helping other people be more successful or making things better. I was like a living, breathing, continuous improvement person. And so when I took the merger package, and that wasn't the first time that I had a blip in my career, I decided that why not put together all this marketing and customer service and leadership project management experience that I had developed I had become a pretty good writer, although I, you know, a horrible writer when I came out of college. And I was afraid to talk, you know, I was afraid to get up in front of people and talk to them. I had a big, big fear around that. But I, you know, I knew in order to be successful, I had to overcome that fear and be able to organize myself and talk to people and be able to write stuff. If I couldn't write it, I wasn't going to be successful. But anyway, I decided to put that together into a consulting practice. So I basically helped small and large businesses with marketing, improving their processes, and in particular, improving customer service, because that's what I had done prior to the merger at Connecticut Mutual. And also helping people learn leadership skills. So I put that together into a consulting practice. And I worked with, you know, large corporations and small businesses and did that for 5 years until the economy kind of went south. And it was time for another change. But it involved the Mass Mutual took over the marketing programs that Connecticut Mutual had developed. So they brought me in to work on a couple of the marketing programs. So that was, you know, every time I got derailed, or even if I derailed myself, I went back to what I had a passion for, which was fixing things. I was a fixer, a problem solver, and helping other people be more successful. That's what it boils down to. So I was very fortunate to figure out what really turned me on, what I was passionate for. Mm-hmm. But instinctively, somehow or other, I followed that, you know, through a good part of my career. And it started with basically this desire to help others doing the yard work for my parents, you know, when I was a teenager. So, you know, sometimes if you can just, you can just figure out what, I think the key is to figure out what you're about. At least it was for me anyway.
Yeah.
And once I got it. And by the way, I headed fundraising at our synagogue for 3 years, which was a job I thought I would never want. I didn't want it.
Yes, you okay? do. Yes,
so
you do.
Said, oh my God, I'm going to have to do this. Okay. And then I figured out, well, what is this? It's basically fundraising is putting together programs. It's developing project plans and managing them and leading volunteers, which is an experience of a lifetime because, you know, you don't have the authority over them that you would with employees. Not that you should, you know, take advantage of that authority, but volunteers kind of want to go their own way, so it's harder to corral them, you know.
But did you learn to ask for money? Do you feel comfortable asking for money, Phil?
Well, I kind of learned it, but I was not as good as some of the other people. And by the way, I did a 2-year stint as an insurance agent, and boy, I was just I never figured it out like you did, Mariette. I was not good at that. I really was not good at that because I didn't have that closer mentality.
Do you know, I did this for 18 years and I did it well. And what it does to a person's mind, being an underachiever, and now finally I'm sticking to something. And it works because, you know, I had met this mm-hmm. person who said, I never, you know, finish anything. And under the hardest circumstances, I stuck to it. And I became a six-figure earner. But I also learned the road of roller coaster. You have to be able to withstand the roller coaster, right? Because things go up and down and up and down. And a lot of people don't have the nerves for that. They get all bent out of shape. So you can't get bent out of shape. You know, you just have to learn how to do the roller coaster, right? But here's the key. When things are going really well in your life, you get a little nuts in the head. You think you're superior over others. You know? No, really. It's really the truth. It was part of my journey from the underachiever to the overachiever to till life brought me back on, you know, on the ground, on my feet, because God said to me, "Hey, Marietta, not like that. Don't do it like that." I had a stroke, and I had to really regain my strength, my walking. I was, you know, I couldn't walk for a couple of months, and I made that commitment. God, if you let me walk again, I will help a lot of people. I had no idea what this was going to look like. And I said, if I don't have the means to help people, I will find the people that will have the means. And do you know, after I recuperated, I couldn't do my work anymore. It was just, nothing worked anymore. It was like everything was for nothing, the 18 years. But I was already put on a new track, and I didn't know it. And that's why today, and this took me a long time to build, to really had a little bit of money, came back in 2000 back to the States, spend more money than I earned money to really look at this organization, that organization, what I wanted to do. When people go through adversity, I can help them. I can help them not only with guidance and solid, you know, experience and as a guide them through it. Because most people, when they have adversity in their lives, they're not strong enough to really go on. A lot of people, it happens to a lot of people. It can be no matter whether it's a sickness they're experiencing or a death of a loved one or a divorce or a job loss. Not everybody can say, okay, well, brush myself off like Wayne did 20 years of broadcasting. And, hey, let's look for this and let's go for it. A lot of people, they're suffering in silence. They're suffering in silence. And I wanted to help people that are going through adversity. And it took me years of not making any money. I certainly wasn't making anywhere close to my six figures. I had to downscale my lifestyle. I was willing to do that. I was willing to do everything because I had made the commitment to God 20 years ago. And do you know, as I found myself eating peanut butter sandwiches, I said, not like that, God. This is too hard. I stuck with it for over 20 years. I'm still involved in it. I still help in regards to that, but I do it just a little differently. I do it by selection only, because not too many people really stick to a commitment and so forth. So I don't need to live my life, you know, like that. I really don't. But I stuck with it for over 20 years. But we have how many minutes left? 4 minutes? We have 6 minutes left, so that's good. So when initiative, tenacity, skills, and talents take over, Wayne, I'd like to get back to you. When we start something new, it's obvious that we don't make the money that we're used to making. And we have to be prepared to spend some money, maybe go into our savings, maybe into our 401k plan. So I say, what's the big deal? Yeah, investing money in yourself to get to further yourself. Wayne, what do you?
Absolutely, the best investment you can make is in yourself, and that is why when you look at reinventing yourself, at starting something new, at picking yourself up, when you make your decision based on your skill set, your gifting, your passion, and a plan, because preparation, when I say being brave enough to fail is about taking risks, preparation is the difference between brave and reckless. So when you line those things up, that is what gives you, again, that confidence and will and hope to persevere. And yes, you have to put some money into it. You have to, you know, we have to make sacrifices, whether it's money, time, or just blood, sweat, and tears.
Yes.
But we have to invest something because nothing is free. But the thing that I learned is in this great country, the United States of America, there are people that will help you. There are people that when they see someone who is working hard, trying to do something good for themselves, for the community, there are people that will help out of the goodness of their heart. And because they believe in what you're doing, or just because you're trying to do the right thing. And I have run across many of those people who have seen what I was doing. Heck, starting Brave Enough to Fail, the initial $20,000 that I got to start this nonprofit came from people who supported my campaign and then came back and said, this thing you're doing, I believe in it, and actually wrote checks to Wayne Winsley. They wrote checks to me personally because I didn't have a 501c3 yet, mm-hmm. but they believed in what I was trying to do.
Yes.
So yeah, you can, heck, my wife will tell you, my whole family has invested in this vision. Like you said, you make choices with lifestyle. You make choices financially. You make choices of how you spend your time, what you're going to focus on, educating yourself. All those, they're sacrifices, but they're really investments.
Yep.
They are investments in yourself. And I'll say it again and close with that. There's no better investment a person can make than to invest in themselves.
Thank you, Wayne. And I do want to add, we must learn how to sell our ideas and also feel good about it. But here's the key. We have to be able to back up our ideas with experience, because everybody has ideas. You know, very few have the experience to implement them. And when you say for 18 years every day, hello, my name is, and you reach your goals on a consistent basis, you have that archive and you have the belief in your own capabilities. You believe in yourself because you have a track record, and you can convey that very easily to the next person who's listening to you. So they know if it's just full, if you're full of smoke, or if you have the experience, if you have a creative thought or creative thoughts, and you can back it up, you know, with experience. And I love that. And this is what I sell today, you know, to individuals. That's why when I look at people's mind, I look at their skills and talents, and I can build a path for them where they want to go. And I know exactly what they're deficient of. You know, and sometimes I have to say, you got to wait. So we have 1 minute left. Wayne and Phil, I want to thank you very much. Wayne, give the website quickly, and also Phil, your website.
BraveEnoughToFail.org. BraveEnoughToFail.org. All one long sentence for our organization.
Wayne, I'm looking forward to working with you. I really, really do. I think you're super. I think you're absolutely fantastic. And also, my friend,
thank
Phil.
Thank you so much, Marietta.
You're welcome, and I mean that. And Phil, what is your website, please?
PhilTheDogListener.com. Again, PhilTheDogListener.com. It's all, you know, there's no spaces.
Phil, thank you very, very much for making yourself available. Wayne, good night, everybody. And remember, September 13th, we're on for 2 hours with our Conscious Living event, and we're off next Sunday because of the long weekend. Gentlemen, thank you so much for making this possible. Thank you.
Thank
Take
you.
Care. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.